This evening we're going to start the book of Genesis. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I pray that you are a note taker. There's a lot of intricate information that we are going to talk about, and hopefully excite us to see the Lord's hand is in everything, right? So the book was originally written in Hebrew. The original title was the first word in the Hebrew text, Bereshith. It's the beginning. The Jews would do this so that they could quickly identify the contents by looking at the title. The Septuagint was the Greek version of the Hebrew Old Testament, and when the translation came to the book, they gave it the Greek title Genesios, from which we get Genesis, meaning origins or the beginnings. And so the author we know is Moses. The time covered, since the book covers the actual moment of creation, which we can't definitively determine, we don't know the precise time span covered. However, most Bible scholars place the creation about 4,000 years ago. Jesus has been gone 2,000 years, and we've entered the 7,000 years. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. He's at the door, right? And we're excited about that. So he's gone like 7 days now, right? For a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So this is the accurate, no reason why not. Genesis covers approximately 2,200 years from the time in Eden in chapter 1, which we're going to go through tonight, until Egypt, chapter 50. And very important stuff. Genesis covers most history than the rest of the Bible combined. So it's very important that we understand the contents of what it tells us in the beginning. Written for the Hebrew people. In particular, Romans 3:2 says, unto the Jews were committed the oracles and declarations of God, but to all mankind in general. 1 Corinthians tells us that all these things happened, in other words, the Old Testament, as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We are in the last days. We are living in the time of grace. We are the church age, where Christ is not counting man's sins against us here on earth, but he's calling all men unto grace and to salvation today. We are living in the last times, the church age. Whether it happens another 100 years from now or it happens after we have our coffee and close the door, Jesus is coming. I hope you're looking, waiting, anticipating, and enjoy of that fact that we will be with him one day. The main theme described in key verses, in the beginning, God. Now, unregenerate man closes the book at this point and says, I will have no one rule over me. I will have no God over me. And yet, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The origins of the universe, the origins of the earth, life, man, marriage, family, sin, nations, religion, God's chosen people, the Jews. And throughout, we will cite certain firsts. We'll see that in this book. This book is very important for us to understand, so that we get the bigger picture as these building blocks go from Genesis to Revelation, all speaking of the Messiah to come. Throughout, we'll see these things. The outline, Genesis, can be divided into two main parts for you note takers. Chapters 1 through 11, the origin of humanity, Adam to Abraham, written in four sections: creation, the fall, the flood, dispersion of the people. Chapters 12 through 50, the origin of the Hebrews, the nation of Israel is born, right? And within that is four characters: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And so the principal characters, Genesis is unrivaled in terms of containing interesting and important characters, but the main character is God, and how much God loves you, and all the things that he has done to show that he is God on the throne. Genesis is over 14% prophecy. It contains 77 distinct prophecies that would happen. It begins with the life of Eden and ends with the coffin in Egypt. Genesis consists of 50 chapters, 1,533 verses, 38,267 words. Each points to the following fact: that God first came to create, then to redeem, To create, he had only to speak. To redeem, he had to suffer. And he made man by his own breath. He saves man by his own blood. In Eden, when all around was life, he spoke of death. And now, when all around us is death, he speaks of life. Isn't that cool? Genesis. God appears 32 times in 31 verses, the word God. God is the main objective in the character. It sets the tone for the rest of the Bible. The Bible, theocentric, God-centered. So bear in mind, Genesis 1, God's transmission to Genesis 1 and chapter 2, God's transmission to Adam, creation from God's perspective. And so we'll pick it up in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We see here the eternal pecking order. God created. All else is creation. Everything which has or will or can exist exterior to the Godhead owes its being and substance as well as its form to God. If man believes chapter 1 verse 1, there's no problem with the rest of the Bible. In the beginning, God. God is the creator. But as the unregenerate man who rejects God, who has the problem with the Bible and certainly the book of Genesis, and that God created it, how far we've strayed. Moses doesn't defend God's existence as he speaks. He doesn't try to explain everything to us. It is a fact. In the beginning, God created. How far we've strayed, Genesis 1 refutes modern dogmas of no God, atheists. God is all, the pantheism, and the multiple gods, polytheism, materialism, humanism, and evolutionists. And God is a singular agent for creation. The psalmist says in Psalm 92, before the mountains were brought forth or even had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Those are the Psalms of Moses. In the beginning of time and space, not the beginning of God. It's the creation of all the things that exist today in the beginning. But God has always existed. Now, in 1 John, in the beginning was God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That is everlasting, right? That has always been. There has always been God. He is not a created being. God is eternal. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is a reference to Jesus. Jesus was present and active at creation. John 1:3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. So it speaks of, in the beginning was the Word, that is Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God, the Father. And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Paul tells us, by him, Christ, all things were created that are in the heavens and that are on the earth, and all things were created through him and for him. Jesus is responsible for the creation. In the beginning, God. That word in Hebrew is Elohim. It speaks of plural, a plural noun. In other words, like a dozen of eggs. It's one dozen. It's plural. Elohim is plural. It speaks of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. In verse 2, it speaks of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity demonstrates in its first verse of Scripture, best defended by Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 11, faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God spoke creation into existence. And the word bara means without anything, out of nothing. Out of nothing, God created everything. The heavens and the earth, all the universal matter. God goes unto elaborate formation of creation. It says in verse 2, it's without form, it's unformed, it is void, created, not completed. Original matter needs organization, right? The darkness was on the face of the deep. The deep was the water. Earth was a watery mass at this time. And there was darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. And in the deep is the absence of land. The Spirit of God, it says, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God hovered over this, the Godhead established right in the beginning, the Father, the Son, and now the Spirit. The Spirit, not a part of creation, hovered over the waters, distinct from creation, and the Spirit of God dwells in his creation, and he is everywhere, indivisibly present in all its works. And so God in the beginning had all this planned out for us. You know, Jesus speaks to these demons after he cast them out, or the demons speak to him and said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have you come to us to torment us before our time? Jesus had cast out these demons. And they recognize exactly who he is. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have you come to torment us before our time? A couple things there. They knew who Christ was. They identify him. And they knew their destination. Right? We're still having a problem deciding whether Jesus is the Son. Does God really love me or not? Does he know the situations that I'm going through? God knows everything. He is sovereign. He spoke and everything came to being. Isn't that amazing? The detail, the first week of creation, organization of original matter. So the outline here, if you're taking notes, day one, light and darkness. Day two, the waters were divided from the firmament. This is important stuff. We'll get to that. Day three, land and vegetation was formed. Day four, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day five, the sea and the air animals. Day six, land animals and man. And day seven, rest from creation. Are these literal 24-hour days? Well, it says that the day and the night was a cycle, and so we believe that to be. We pick it up in verse 3 and 4. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. I have to stop right there because God is amazing. This God who said, let there be light, is the same God that tells you he loves you and died for you, and that if you believe in him, you would have eternal life. Period. He's not a liar. He has all things in control. He is sovereign. He knew you before he even formed you, and you were part of his plan, and he knew that you would be in his kingdom. He knows how you're going to die, when you're going to die. He knows where you're going to be forever. He knows what you're thinking right now. The same God who spoke is the same Spirit of God that dwells within you right now where you sit. What is hindering us from doing and walking with this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Hopefully, we know it's us, right? Hopefully tonight we'll settle that issue. We know how great that God is. He spoke and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So he spoke and there was light. Note that light was created before the fourth day. What happens on the fourth day, those who took notes? Sun, moon, and stars. Light appeared before the sun, moon, and stars. Where do we get our light from? The sun. Isn't that interesting? None of those things existed. He is the light. It is his light. How's that possible? 1 John 1:5, God is light beyond our ability to comprehend. So he created light before those things happened, right? That's interesting to me. It was good, established two things. God said it was good. Number one, the objective standard of good and bad. God determined what was good and bad. He said the light is good. Number two, God discerns between good and bad. There is an objective truth determined by God, and he says light is good, and he is the light of the world. So God is good. He makes that determination. He makes that decision. in contrast to darkness. Darkness is a negative connotation. What is darkness? Hell, outside darkness, outer darkness, the opposite of God's presence. The opposite of God's presence is darkness, right? God's presence is light. And he divides it. The light divided from darkness. And that's true today. Light and darkness cannot exist together. And there's spiritual implications to that. Now, you can't determine levels of darkness. Did you know that? You can determine levels of light. Lights can be dim or they can be bright, but darkness is the absence of light, period. And there's a spiritual aspect to this. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, "You are not of darkness, you are sons of the light." A spiritual distinction from the things around you. You are not, listen, of this world. You may work in this world, live here, and dwell, but you're not of the world. You've heard it said that a boat floats in water, but the boat's biggest enemy is the water it floats in. And yet the boat is made to float in the water. And so it's not the water around the boat that's dangerous to the boat. It's the water that gets in the boat that's dangerous to the boat. Keep the things of the world out of your life. You are children of the light, not of darkness. Salvation, experience, is illustrated here in the first day. Light, the day to darkness. We are of the day, 24-hour period. So now we pick it up in verse 6 through 8. And then God said, "Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, which we would call atmosphere, right? And so the evening and the morning were the second day. This word firmament is used 17 times in the Old Testament. 13 times it speaks of the heavenly expanse. And our definition of the firmament is the atmosphere. And most, in the midst of the waters, it says the atmosphere began within the waters and they divided it. So the waters were divided into two parts, the watery globe and the atmosphere. This is a layer of air, a watery blanket that surrounded the atmosphere. This watery blanket, some call it a canopy, is very important to understand the rest of this book, Genesis. Because in Noah's time, it hadn't rained. And so we see the correlation of why it hadn't rained and what happened when that flood came in the beginning of time. The effects of the canopy, it regulated temperature, global climate, natural greenhouse. Everything was, they say, perhaps tropical during that time. Plentiful vegetation was everywhere. Limited exposure of solar radiation. And in the roll of the flood, that's in Genesis 7, it speaks of the windows of heaven had opened. And the reason why we don't observe it today, this is why we don't understand this canopy. We don't have that today. But it existed then. Verse 9 and 13, "Then God said, 'Let the water under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear.' And it was so." God spoke it, and it happened. "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good, and then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree and yields fruit according to its kind,'" very important words, "'whose seed is in itself on the earth.' And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb and that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree and yield fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And so the evening and the morning were the third day." So the waters under the heaven gathered together, they form this sea, the body of water. The earth was a vast ocean until God said, "Let there be land. let the dry land appear. And so rising from the ocean, dry land, the earth appeared and gathered around the oceans. Today, 70% of the earth is covered with water. So grass and herbs and fruit trees, according to its kind. This is very important for those who say we evolved into something else. That apes became human beings. Can't be, right? We just read, we're going to read where he creates land animals, and then he specifically creates men. And all things, you know, how many of you had planted an apple seed and got a banana? It doesn't happen. Right? God is a God of order, and he specifically says in the beginning why and these things that'll be. Whose seed is in itself. Seeds produce fruit after their host. In the same way with the Christians, we're to produce other Christians, right? We're to make disciples, right? If you're a Christian husband and wife, you're to be raising up your children as godly children. 14 and 19, then God said, let there be lights, plural, in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made them stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Let there be lights. This is plural. This is light existence prior to the stellar bodies. Now, God creates stellar bodies, five purposes. We read in 14 and 15. Number one, to divide the day and the night. This determined 24-hour cycles. And for signs, and that has many meanings, for signs. Number three, for seasons, determined seasonal change. And for days and years, years are measured each time the earth orbits around the sun. And so the seasons are particular to the rotation of the earth and the sun and the stars. And number five, to give light, making life possible. And so the two principles of light, sun and day, and the moon, which is night. Now what's interesting about that, the day, the sun, the sun produces light, right? What does a moon do? Moon reflects light. Jesus is the sun, S-O-N. He is the light, and we reflect that light that dwells within us. And he says, you are the light of the world. Where is it coming from? It's coming from him. It's not coming from me, right? I cannot produce it. I'm not the producer. I am not the S-U-N. He is the S-O-N, and he is the light of the world. And when we say, when he says that you are the light of the world, this is the reason why you're illuminating his light that dwells within you. Isn't that awesome? The same yet difference, the sun is the greater light and the moon reflects a lesser light. He made the stars also. Note how quickly this happens. 10 to 25 power stars in the universe. He speaks of this in one verse, or a half a verse. God created the stars and the heavens and the moons in like a half a verse. And then when he speaks of, listen to this, and then when he speaks of man, particularly he speaks of Abraham and the nation that he's going to build, it's 12 chapters. God's priority is man, not the cosmos and the stars, not the animals that walk the earth, but man. Wonderful and vast as the universe is, man is greater. The universe does not know that it exists, but man does. The universe is not free to act, but man is. Isn't that interesting? In just a couple verses, God spoke all things into being, and then when he speaks about his people, mankind, he's going to spend 12 chapters in doing that. verses 20-23. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." And so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, which the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. So nothing evolved into anything. Nothing is evolving today. How many of you saw half a cat today running down the street and the other half was a dog? It's silly, but this is what we're teaching our kids. We may stop a little early this evening. I'm having a problem talking. Pray for me. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." So that the evenings and the morning were the fifth day. So God creates plant life on day three. Now creates animal life. And the difference in Genesis 7, animals have the breath of life in them, represents the soulish life. In other words, God breathed into them life. Plants don't have that. Fish and fowl coexist, yet distinctly separate. So it refutes the evolution theology. God knew what he was creating. God knew exactly what he was creating. There are so many things that he's created that have passed that we'll never see because they're extinct now. But each of these things were according to their kind. Now, it speaks of great sea creatures. What do you got? Yeah, I got two in my mouth already. I'll take three. Maybe these two are not working. Thank you, brother. I wasn't kidding. That's a little stronger, thanks. So God created the whales and such, these big sea monsters, and possibly the dragons and the dinosaurs at this point. Job 40 and 41 speaks in a little detail. But day six must be divided into two separate parts. First, land animals, and then in verse 26, verse 31, is man and woman. So we'll pick up now in verse 24 and 25. And then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Let's stop right there. We've just read several times, according to its kind. According to its kind. Now, we know God knew that in 2018 they would be teaching kids in school that things just evolved with the Big Bang Theory. God knew that. But he put the truth in his word, that these things were created according to its kind. So there's no question what God's intention was and what really happened. So he speaks of cattle. These are the four-legged animals, creeping things, insects, and reptiles, and beasts. These are large land animals, perhaps the dinosaurs, because dinosaurs existed. We don't know when they left. It might have been during the flood. We're not sure. Probably, right? But all things according to its kind. There is, listen, a genetic code self-contained within everything God's created. Man cannot duplicate it. Man can take existing cells and reproduce those, but he can't produce the cells, period. God has done that. So there is a genetic code in each one of us. And it's interesting. We grew up thinking there was a single cell amoeba. Was that what it's called? And then they realized that there's DNA, that it's much more complicated. Even when with the DNA, we don't know that much. And the phrase is five times in connection with animals and perhaps anticipating the attack on evolution. So he says five times according to its kind. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth." And and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So whose image were we created in? God's image. The plurality of God, the us and the our spoken here, speaks of the Trinity, seeing the fullness of divine personality, the order God made man. God made man last. He made man distinct. And it's the climax of his creation. Once again, he speaks, I created this, and then we're going to go 12 chapters about man. God's concern is man. We are his prized possession. Now, the uniqueness of man made in God's image and likeness is something we're still working on today, right? To comprehend that. But we have emotions and a soul and a spirit. And so we're created in his likeness. We have the ability to think. We have emotions. We have the ability to communicate, to process, to understand. Animals really don't have that. They may mimic some things, but God's created man special. Man is honored to be alone in sharing with God the sorrows, anger, perspective, joy, jealousy, love. And he gives man a command to have dominion. Man's unique relationship to the rest of creation. Unique responsibility over God's creation. Unique authority over God's creation, man's values. And unique capacity to rule over God's creation. And so man, male and female, Adam and Eve, which we'll get to in chapter 2, were created with honor above all things, above all else. And God blessed them. It's very important. It's a foundational truth. God is favorably disposed towards mankind. God created it and blessed mankind. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him. He's not talking about animals, right? He's not talking about prairie dogs. He's talking about people. The creation, the climax of his creation, mankind, is who God died for. In 2 Peter, willing that none should perish. He's not sitting back laughing now. He's hoping that all men would come unto his salvation. Now, there's somebody in your life that you need to bring the message to. Because you're the messenger that God has called. Think about that. If he's waiting for the last Gentile to be saved, now, certainly if you don't do it, he'll use someone else. But he's appointed us to make disciples. And if we are faithful in that call, there is someone in our life that needs to know Jesus that we are going to bring to the Lord. It's not once. It's not, I did it 10 years ago. It's every day being an example of a godly man or woman illuminating the light of Christ that dwells within you. Illuminating truth in this dark world. Salt, creating a thirst for the living God. There's a reason why we are separate from the other created things, even the angels. And he says, be fruitful and multiply. Have children. For three reasons. Now, this is where the homosexual thing comes in. Man and man and women and women cannot do what God's called mankind to do. Right? And also, we're living in a fallen world. Some people can't have kids, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the world system challenging the things of God, and man wants to do anything he wants, and yet God created man in his image, blessed him, and says, be fruitful and multiply. Three reasons. Number one, spiritually, adding to God's kingdom. We are ambassadors of the King, and we are drawing people, we're recruiting people, we're getting people to follow Jesus by the message of the good news of the gospel. And the testimony of our life is to show them that God can change people, right? What else do you have to tell? Well, I had this friend once. No, they don't care about the friend. They want to see it in you. You're different. Something happened to you. You went to that conference. You came back. We don't even know who you are. You don't even curse anymore. We don't want to hang out with you. But that's what the world looks at you differently. You know what? You stop getting invited to parties now. People stop calling you. You become the outcast. But that's okay, because God brings other godly people into your life that will help you grow and not drag you down. And yet we're yet still to be the light of the world in the earth here that we live. So we see spiritual, adding to the kingdom. Emotional, a source of fulfillment, is what God's called us to do, to be fruitful. You know, if you've had kids, you know what it means to have kids. It's a joyful time. There's difficulties as well. Practical, need to increase in order to fill the earth and subdue every living thing, right? So he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And that's what we're called to do. God had a plan and a purpose in creation. He sets it in motion and in order. He is still overseeing. Listen, God didn't just create things and then step back and it all unfolded. He's been there the whole time. When you were born, His spirit was alongside of you. And throughout life, he was nudging you and knocking and asking questions and drawing you to Christ. Then when you became a believer, that same spirit entered you, which is your seal and guarantee of your inheritance, which gives us access to the King, because his spirit dwells within us. It also comes upon us that empowers us to do what I'm doing tonight, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. And you're doing too, wherever you go after a year, or wherever you'll be during the week. That's God's plan. And God said, verse 29 and 31, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Who has given us everything? God. God is our providential grace. He's our provider. He's our providence. Went before providing for man's needs. Before man was created, he had already created the herbs and the trees and the fruit, right? Those things had already been done. Man is unable to earn what God has given him. God created before man. Man can't take credit for it. Look what we planted, right? This stuff was here before you ever got here. And the face of all the earth for food. So man was to be I hate to say this. In the beginning, man was a vegetarian. Where do you see that, Pastor? Well, nothing died yet, right? Sin hadn't entered. Nothing is dead. And it says that all these things will be for food. But everything's changed now, and I'm happy about that. We could eat porterhouse steaks where they didn't have those back then. I'm just saying. So notice, it's pre-fall. God's design for no death, either man nor animals. And man allowed to eat animals after the flood. That's in Genesis 9. Listen, 1,600 years after creation. 1,600 years after creation. And God said it was very good. Creation complete with humanity. And know God's perspective and his priority is on man. I can't express that more as we close, because I can't talk anymore. And that's in God's divine providence as well. We've gone over some great things in great detail. You've probably read them before. But all through his creation, God had you in mind. Before the foundations of the world, he knew you. And he said in 2018, January 17th, you'd be sitting here hearing what he's done thousands of years ago. And we rejoice in that, because he is our King and he is our Lord. And we bow now to the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We do that today. We do that now. We invite the Lord Jesus in our life. And we walk with him daily. We move, learn, and understand by the power of his Spirit. And we are not perfect yet in this fallen body. But our desire is to strive, keep running the race, as Paul says, preparing ourselves, shooting for excellence, looking at Jesus Christ as our example to follow. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so as our lives begin to understand more and more about Jesus and God and where are we in Scripture, because we've studied the Scriptures, that our lives would just illuminate wherever we go. And if that's not a picture of your life, then go before the Lord and ask him to remove any obstacles, listen, that are blocking his light. It could be fear. It could be anger. It could be jealousy. It could be many things that's causing you not to shine like we should. There should be that joy in our heart. We had a guest on the radio Sunday night, and he says, you know, when you love somebody, you talk about them all the time. I always talk about my wife all the time. Well, if you love Jesus, you're going to be talking about Jesus all the time, right? Yeah. Because there's no way to the Father except through him. And Jesus says, you can't come to him unless you're drawn by the Father. Now, we don't know who those people are. And I think it's good that we don't know, because we would favor some people over others. So we don't know. We have a blanket of a sea of people that we're to love and minister to, because we don't know which one's going to be saved. And I can imagine there's a lot of people that we think are going to be in heaven that are not going to be there, and people we didn't think would get there that'll be there. We don't know. But you don't have to answer to them. You have to answer for you. What does your life look like? What are you doing today? What excites you about God? Is it just coming to church? Well, I hope not. I hope as we looked at how great God is and looked at some pinpoint and things that he's done, and we reflect that in our life, we say, God is awesome. God is great. We were all in his mind while he was doing all these things. The perfection of creation. There are 128 parameters necessary for life to be sustained. And the chance of that on one planet is one in, I think it's 10 times 166 powers. It is impossible. It's like buying one lottery ticket and winning 21 lotteries. It's an impossibility. It cannot happen. Only God can do these things. If we were just a centimeter closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were another in the opposite direction, we would freeze. And God has everything holding in his hands. And if he can hold the universe in his hands, why do you think he couldn't hold yours? Your life in his hands as well. So I pray you're encouraged by us looking at the beginning, the creation. And we have so much more to learn. But I hope it lights your heart on fire, that there's a desire in your heart to know and study God more through his word, and then reach out to others in love and compassion. Amen? Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for thinking of us before you ever spoke any of these things into being. And what's so great about us considering how you've created all these things, you're not finished with us. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us in our sinful state, but coming down from heaven and paying that ultimate penalty on the cross for our sins so that we would not have to suffer that. So now, Lord, we pray that our lives would glorify you in the calling that you have called us to do. Help us now, Lord, to follow your direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.